You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 986. We've got a great guest for us. We've got Subhab Zaheer. I've been practicing that for I've been practicing that for 15 minutes so that when it comes to it, I still make a mess of it. I apologize. He is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Managed Hosting at DigitalOcean, Stroke Cloudwares. Thanks for coming on the show. Would you like to give the tribe a quick 10-15 second intro of what you do at Cloudwares, and then when we come back we will delve in your history a bit deeper?
Sure. Well, first off, thanks for having me on, Jonathan. Your name's a lot easier to pronounce. Mine is pronounced Suhab. The I always throws people off, so it's not a big deal at all. I'm the general manager of Cloudwares, which is the managed hosting product for DigitalOcean. So I run that business end-to-end, product strategy, innovation, execution, the go-to-market, you know, sales support, the whole gambit. So I have a lot of fun, been in the managed hosting industry for a long time, and, I enjoy what I do very much.
That's fantastic. And I've got my ever-supportive and patient co-host, Kurt. Would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers, Kurt?
Yeah, Jonathan, thanks. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana Nomás, and we work directly with the great team over at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great interview, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back. We've also got a continued monthly sponsor, which Kirk will quickly tell you about. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, today's episode is sponsored by Mysterio LMS, and we're kind of excited about them. We've been talking about them for the last month, and the main deal is they have a free version that's not even a trial. No credit card required at all. It's not limited. You get unlimited courses, unlimited lessons, unlimited students, and that's forever. So if you think about that, you can build your entire course business without paying a cent. They have a drag and drop builder that's there. They've got quiz creation there, and they've got student tracking. If you wanted to do something outside of the free version, like certificates or content drip or different advanced features, they do have a pro version, but most course creators can launch for free. I encourage you to check out Mysterio LMS, MASTERIYO.com.
Thank you, Kurt. So, Suhab, let's go into your background a bit deeper. So how did you initially get into the world of hosting? What led to this long path of success?
You know, it's a funny story. I actually stumbled into it on accident almost. I was a bit of an entrepreneur out of high school. I started my first business then. And later on, I'd started another commercial real estate brokerage with my father. And we had that business for years. But as a part of that, we were trying desperately to get a website built. I don't want to date myself too much, but it was some time back before things were as easy as they are today. We would hire a developer that would show up. We'd go through the process, kind of go through the scope and everything, pay the deposit. They'd start working on it. And then it would be like they'd just disappear. And it was a really big frustration point for me because I wasn't necessarily the most tech savvy individual back then. And so I remember one day we were at a family party actually, and I was talking to my mom's cousin and just telling him like, oh man, I'm so frustrated. We've been trying to get this site built and I've literally gone through 5 developers over this course of time. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm building this product for a company called Homestead. Come check it out. It's a drag and drop builder. You don't even have to know how to, you know, really use, you know, anything. Really just come on and you can get your own site built yourself. So I went and I checked it out and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And this is before the Wixes of the world became, you know, household names. But I thought it was the most amazing creation that I could sit there as somebody who didn't have, you know, deep web expertise, didn't have a developer team. Developers kept disappearing on me, right? And just do it myself. And I remember I signed up for the trial. I immediately paid for it. And then it took me, I think, probably 3-4 days to have something that I thought was professional enough looking. And so from there, you know, I played around with the tool for a couple of weeks. And, you know, later on down that year, the same person, my mom's cousin I was talking to, let me know that they had a bunch of open positions. They were growing like a weed. And I was just so fascinated by the product. And I was so pissed off at how long it took me to get this thing done that I made a career switch, you know, and I jumped in head first and joined that company. And that's how I got my start. It was just the pure fascination of what I was able to do on my own without having, you know, deep technical expertise.
All right. And so what led into the actual cloud hosting area?
That's a pretty long journey. So I've been doing that now for about a decade and a half. And that same company was actually acquired by Intuit. And Intuit acquired it thinking that, you know, they're going to get a whole bunch of customers who would be at their infancy stage and a whole lot of small business customers that they could sort of cross sell their QuickBooks and TurboTax and all those solutions to. It didn't necessarily pan out that way. So they divested the business, which was acquired by Endurance International Group, which owns a ton of the biggest shared hosting companies in the world. And so that's how I became a part of Endurance. And then from there, I played a variety of roles over the course of my tenure there, leading some of the largest hosting brands in the U.S., Bluehost being the most recent one before I left. And so that's really how I got my sort of experience in the hosting world. And then from there, I went on to become the COO of Cloudways prior to selling it to DigitalOcean.
All right. Over to you, Kurt.
I find that whole thing fascinating, Suhab, because when I talk to or consult with businesses, you know, on a wide breadth, most of the people I talk to in charge of things, they say the same thing. They got there by accident. Like No one in third grade said, oh, I want to do shared hosting when I'm growing up, you know? But it's amazing how well you can do when you stumble into something and it just seems to fit. So
yeah,
congrats for you for exploiting that the way that you have. If we're going to take a look at like cloud hosting and your involvement with hosting, what do you see as some of the major opportunities or threats that are connected to cloud hosting and AI next year and a half?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just at a really rare moment of time where this is probably one of the most disruptive technologies that we've seen in years, right? And we're already starting to see the early impact of what folks can do with AI. I think there's so many opportunities, right? Probably the biggest one in my mind being just that layer of intelligence that you can build within the stack, right? If you think about it, you know, obviously you guys are very familiar with hosting. From a customer lens, it can feel very reactive, right? Something breaks, someone fixes it. That's why all of us managed hosting companies have so many great, phenomenal support engineers who are on standby and just ready to provide support. But it's really been reactive in that sense from a customer lens. I think one of the biggest opportunities with AI is that level of intelligence that we'll be able to have throughout the entire platform that would allow us to pivot from that purely kind of reactive state to something far more predictive, right? And so imagine infrastructure that can sense stress or reroute traffic or optimize resources automatically, right? I think that that's a massive, massive efficiency gain. And I think that the companies that can take full advantage of that and create a step change in that user experience are going to be the ones that really survive, candidly, right? I think customers are going to expect platforms and products to become so much more intelligent than they are today. And I think that that's truly one of the biggest opportunities.
So as an outsider looking in, or maybe even better, like from the perspective of what we consider an average viewer or listener right now, when we talk about AI and hosting and all those things, is AI, does it have this like weird potential where it's just, you mentioned efficiency, but then I also wonder, does it create such an unwarranted burden on server resources? Will it increase costs for people long run?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, I think the compute intensity of AI is enormous. I mean, that's very, very clear, right? Training and inference workloads, they consume very real power. And if hosting companies chase AI everywhere without factoring in some level of efficiency in line, we're going to pay for it with sustainability debt. So I think it's a very, very valid point. You know, for a company like us, I mean, we're choosing to leverage AI in very specific use cases in very specific ways. And the intent is one of the things about managed hosting, and you know this, I'm sure, the cost is a big factor, right? Transparency of costs, managing costs, keeping costs as low as physically possible, while still seeing if you can get the best level of performance possible. And so we know that clients and customers around the globe are very cost conscious, and rightfully so, right? Especially if you're an agency as you are, and you're scaling across hundreds or thousands of sites, I mean, the cost can ramp up very quickly, right? So I do think companies like ourselves and every other managed host needs to be very mindful about how they're leveraging AI and making sure that they're using it to solve really the biggest customer friction pain points. Because again, the you know, cost can balloon for sure, depending on, you know, how you're using it and what problems you're actually trying to solve.
Yeah, I'm going back to like, I've had a ton of clients and myself actually use Cloudways for years. And one of the things I liked about Cloudways was you were able to just like dial up your server, you know, like you could just go in there and go, oh, I'm going to take the next package. But I wonder, as people enact different tools, different AI tools, different workflows through their projects, if the temptation is to just go to the next package, like if the site slows down or your page speed score goes down, you just go up an extra $20 a month or an extra $30 a month. Like, I wonder if people are inclined to do that, or if they're more inclined to troubleshoot and get to the root cause of their inefficiency.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of troubleshooting, I mean, that's one of the ways that we're actually using AI is we launched this product. It's really early. It's in its infancy stage, and we've only trained it on a handful of use cases, right? But one of the things that we're thinking we can do is if we can take a product like Copilot and have it very quickly detect, okay, there's a server level issue happening. You know, in today's world, what ends up happening? Okay, your performance is degraded. You actually don't know off the top of your head what's going on. You reach out to support. Now support's asking you questions around, okay, well, did you change something? What's going on? We're running our own diagnostics. And there's a lot of back and forth that happens, right? It can take 20 minutes. Half an hour, an hour. It really depends on what's going wrong. Well, with this tool, with these use cases that we've trained it on, it's able to, within a couple of minutes, right, say, okay, you're getting DDoS, for example. And that DDoS is what's driving, you know, it's taxing your CPU. And here's what you actually need to go do about it. And by the way, click this button and we'll just block those malicious IPs for you. And boom, problem solved, right? So if we can reduce some of those types of contacts that come in today. We also believe that we could scale with way less people than we have today and sort of manage our costs that way, right? So it's almost trading that experience gain, which is how I really look at it. It's a much better experience when you do it that way versus having an agency sit on a phone call or chat or creating tickets for an hour trying to get to the root cause of something, right? So again, I think it's all about how you're going to leverage AI, what are the problems you're going to solve, and where can you manage costs really effectively in other aspects of the business so that you're not passing all that through to the customer at the end of the day.
Yeah. Thanks. Jonathan?
Oh, thanks. So where do you see the growth in the next 12, 18 months? Is it in the kind of to the consumer, to the agency? Because I don't know how big hosting is for DigitalOcean because they have very diverse buckets of users, don't they? You know, I don't know how big hosting is in general to DigitalOcean, but do you see it still growing, hosting in general, for the next 18 months, or is it in a plateau?
You know, hosting is very big for us. I mean, it's the core of what we do. And I would say we still see tremendous opportunity for growth. But I do think that that's going to evolve, right, in terms of folks. I think at the end of the day, folks, like customers are going to expect more and more value beyond just hosting, right? I think some of our most important customers today are agencies. And we know that they have a lot of things that they're either doing manually or they have developers that have to do things that could really be automated. Maybe it was more difficult to automate prior to AI, but there's just workflows and things that, you know, you shouldn't have to have someone just doing repetitively writing scripts and all that. So I do think the value that folks expect from hosts like us and others is going to sort of shift over time. And I see a few different opportunities from a growth perspective. One is that speed and edge computing. I think as the internet continues to become more global, you know, user patience is really getting shorter. And I think that's across not just our industry, right? Like the internet has made people just acclimated with just on demand. If I want something, boom, I have it, right? And so I think an opportunity for us is to continue to figure out how do we deliver content closer and closer to the user, caching intelligently, you know, optimizing for like real world conditions and all that. So I think that's one thing that we have to continue to focus on to propel the growth in that pure hosting world. The second thing I would say is I do think that we're going to see a rise of service-driven web agencies and small development teams. These are the power users, right? They're looking for automation around maintenance and backups and staging and monitoring and all that, so they can really scale their client base without burning weekends on managing updates. And I think that the AI piece, that AI intelligence layer I was talking about, is really going to help us make leaps and bounds there for these smaller web agencies who are going to be able to do remarkable things because of, you know, AI tooling and technology. And then this third sort of place where I do see a potential explosion in demand and growth is this AI builder segment. We today play in WordPress. That's primarily what our customers are building in. But if you look at the growth of some of these, you know, businesses like Lovable and Replit, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. I mean, to go from like $0 to $100 million in 10 months, I mean, that's massive, right? Now, I have read an article just the other day where some of that adoption is dropping off and folks are starting to realize, okay, you can get really great prototypes built, but then ultimately is the infrastructure scalable enough? You know, and they're running into some challenges. I think some of these companies will figure it out. I think the other opportunity for hosts like us, how do you open up the platforms beyond really just focusing on WordPress so that if someone wants to use one of these GenAI tools to build their front end, they can still come over and maybe use, you know, WordPress for the content. And use us for hosting. And how do you bring these sort of environments together, keep them affordable, flexible, and simple enough so people can experiment, build, and scale quickly? So I do think there's going to be growth in the industry. Might look a little bit different. It might not purely be hosting, but I think all of us have an opportunity to figure out how do we deliver more and more value at scale and continue to sort of change with the times.
Yeah, it's funny. I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday, and I've known her for a number of years. She was a founder of a very successful startup, and she's invested in a number of other startups. And she's been encouraging me for over a year to get out of WordPress, just ditch it and go into something else. She said, I'm wasting my time and abilities in this space. She said, you want to get out of it. But she's never been a lover of WordPress. She never has been. And she brought up Lovable, and she said, look, you know, I love Lovable. I hate WordPress. Jonathan, you want to ditch it. I don't think it's, I'm not ready to do that yet. So it kind of goes into the next question. I don't know if that was mine. which is, where do you find WordPress? And I know you probably don't want to delve into this, and I don't, but obviously the founder of Automattic had a bit of a bust up with WP Engine, and you must have just been happy that you weren't part of that, you know, and you just avoided that bullet completely. So you must be a very happy man, because if I was in your shoes, I would be a very happy individual. But on our end, what is the kind of relationship you think that a hosting provider the size of DigitalOcean and Cloudways has with open source projects like WordPress and its founder? You must have had your own discussions of what a balanced, fair relationship is. Are there any thoughts that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. I was a very happy camper as not to be drugged into the into the middle of that. It was actually kind of a sad thing for our industry, I would say.
It was, wasn't it, in some ways?
Yeah. It was really polarizing. I mean, you had folks that were just like, you know, team Automattic all the way, and then others that are team WP Engine all the way. And
I was a bit reluctant, if I should put this question to you, because in some ways I'm a little bit bored with it, yet I'm asking you a question about it. It's a bit contradictional, but I just thought I had to ask you, really.
I think you're right. I mean, look, I'm hopeful that we can put the differences aside and focus on continuing to build this great thing. I do think WordPress, look, the Lovables and Replis of the world, there is no doubt that they are disruptive technologies, right? And I've used the platforms. I have a lot of, you know, friends and colleagues and others that are in the industry that are, of course, testing them, using them. One of the things that I would say is I wouldn't count WordPress out. Now, I know that there's a love-hate relationship, right? But WordPress is the nature of open source, right? It enables you to truly build anything that you want. And ultimately, I think that's been one of the beauties about WordPress and what's helped it get to the amazing scale of powering, you know, almost half of the websites in the world, right? I don't think that's going away tomorrow. I mean, yeah. It's such a powerful ecosystem. Now, that said, I do think, and you, obviously you've been in the industry for so long, and you and Kurt know, I mean, WordPress comes with its flaws as well, right? It is complex for novice users. It is kind of a pain to sort of make sure things are updated all the time. And, you know, that open source and flexibility does have a potential downside, right? So for your friend who you're mentioning, we hear stuff like that a lot as well in the industry, which is, you know, why can't we just have like a WordPress experience, but as simple as a Wix, right? Where you could truly, you know, you don't have to spend so much time on doing things that are just so manual and laborious in nature. But I wouldn't count on WordPress. I mean, look, I think the shifts that we're going to see, AI, just like it's doing for everything else, like AI assisted workflows are going to be everywhere for WordPress, right? From content creation, plugin maintenance. I think it's going to quietly automate much of the busy work that slows people down today.
Yeah, I could too.
I also think that we're going to see more headless and hybrid architectures, like developers who are using WordPress as a content engine, while maybe using these modern things like Lovable to handle the front end experiences. So I think there's going to be a point in time where folks figure out how to make that work well, potentially. And then
I've actually been looking a little bit at a platform called Web Studio as some of the open source. It has some of the elements of WordPress, but it also has elements of the leading SaaS like SiteGround, Wix and alike. So I have been looking at that, and it does integrate with WordPress, the database as well. So I have been looking at that. I think it's a good time for us to go for our middle break. I think it's been a fantastic discussion. We've covered a few things. We've got some great questions for the second half. We're going to go for our middle break, and we've got some other great messages from our sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a fantastic discussion with Suhab about hosting, DigitalOcean, Cloudwares, WordPress, where we find ourselves at the end of 2025. We've got some other great questions. But before we do that, I just want to point out we've got a fantastic created list of the best WordPress plugins and services for the freelancer and for the small agency owner, plus some fantastic special offers from the sponsors of the show, our major sponsors that are really appreciated, like Rollover, Kinsta, and Lifter LMS. They really help support the show. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And you can get all the free goodies there and discounts. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So I'm going to throw it over to Kurt. Over to you, Kurt.
Oh, well, I got a question burning in my brain that's not on the list, and so I might get shot. But Suhab, I hear you guys talking about WordPress, and my brain is getting stretched in two completely different directions right now. I'm trying to listen to Kevin Geary. I'm trying to learn Edge. I was an early adopter Edge. I'm trying to get my brain into that, and that's operating at what I consider a high level. And then there's, you know, the Cadence and Astra tools of the world, where we install Astra or Cadence and we put in a paragraph about our customer's business. Lickety split, we got a website, right? And so there's a huge disparity in services between that and this, right? Like, so I'm not a fool. I understand that there's a huge difference there, but I'm thinking about who the customer is, how to communicate, do a needs assessment, and the use case that goes with it, right? And then I picked up in your conversation with Jonathan, you said, well, what if we had like a Wix-like experience, right? Hosting with WordPress, like I'm thinking about WP Tonic's offer. Like, so WP Tonic offers the hosting, offers a curated suite of plugins and does the updates and stuff for the customer, which is great. But then that puts you in a pricing market comparable to SaaS. And everyone thinks WordPress is synonymous with free or low cost, and it ends up being a race to the bottom. And so when we're saying how do you find WordPress at the end of 2025, I'm kind of stuck in the middle there. I'm thinking, well, I got a ton of customers racing to the bottom over here, and then I've got Kevin Geary in my other ear saying I should be able to sell $50,000 websites using a premium tool like Etch. And there's definitely a conflict there. Are you sensing that at your level of the business?
100%. And look, I think it's easy to generalize and say, well, WordPress does this, right? But the reality is that there's different segments of the market. And I think, yes, you're 100% right that there is a segment of our industry and a segment of the customers who expect this to become cheaper and cheaper and cheaper over time. But I will say in the space where Cloudways is operating, and I think some of maybe the, we'll call them upscale kind of managed hosts, there's something else that we're seeing, which is very interesting, which is customers are willing to invest more money if we're providing some kind of transformational value. And I think that with AI and this intelligence layer that I'm talking about, we have so many developers and agencies and builders on our platform. And you know, I'm talking to customers every day, and so many of these folks are like, hey, if you can give me hours of my life back, I would happily spend another 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 bucks a month, right? Because I know that right now this is a very cost for me to have 10, 15 developers doing XYZ. And if you're giving me this time back, I would happily spend another 50 bucks a month, right? And so I do agree. I think in order for folks to see WordPress outside of just this cheap sort of way to get an online presence built and host, I think, you know, that value that you can deliver by tightly integrating that experience between content, the plugin aspect, the value you're delivering, maybe for developer workflows, there is an opportunity to monetize this in a different way than I think historically hosts have thought about, right? If you deliver a step change in experience, and I think before you raise prices or you try to charge more for something, that experience piece, which is candidly where I think WordPress has always struggled, that experience piece has to be nailed. But I do believe AI will enable us to do things very differently than we've ever had in the past, right? Because there's just so much that it can do that, you know, was just never possible before. And I think that folks are going to figure out, I mean, there's a beautiful thing about the community, right? We are going to find a way. Folks are going to find a way. There's just too many people invested in it to not find a way to create that step change environment. I think that'll be monetized very differently as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking back on my own most recent sales conversations, and I didn't mention WordPress. I did a needs assessment and I was like, yeah, we can absolutely build you a product that handles your learning requirements. But it wasn't like, yeah, I'm going to use WordPress with this tool and this plugin and this CRM tool. And it was more like, hey, you were looking at X, Y, and Z as a product. We can match that with our services and keep your expenses where they need to be.
Yeah. Kurt, are you seeing like the younger generation? Because there's one thing I'm noticing with some of the younger folks. They're not talking about WordPress at all. No. they're the first thing they're talking about is the Lovables, the Replits, like the vibe coding sort of products that enable you to get out there and use natural language and spin up online presences, right? And so I'm seeing this trend where you've got this legacy generation, right? A lot of us who grew up, you know, the last 15, 20 years in the industry, who understand the power and the amazing things WordPress can do. And then you've got these other folks who are like, why the hell would I even bother with it? You know?
Yeah. I actually speak at the high school here locally, and their IT class came. There were 60 kids that wanted to hear my talk, which I was thrilled about. But when in the presentation, I said, how many people have heard of WordPress? Only two had even heard of WordPress. So then we said, well, it's 43% of the internet. It does this. It's open source. But then I asked the magic question and I said, in Kansas, you could have an agency for, if you have access to a laptop and the internet, you can be an agency. Like, that's literally how easy it is to be in business in Kansas. And so I said, if I showed you how to make, let's say, $6,000 before summer, who would be interested in that? And all the hands went up. It's you have to change the thinking. There's like a switch in there. So we have an apprentice project we're putting forward for the community now, but that's just to get young people in it, because all us old folks are doing it and we're going to time out.
I couldn't agree more. And so I was curious if you're seeing the same trends that we are. It's, you know, I think that it's a bit of a branding problem, right? But it goes back to that thing around experience. I think, you know, what the internet did, right? I mean, it made everybody, like, we lost patience. You can have anything is at your fingertips, information, ordering things, whatever it is, Amazon Prime, I mean, anything that you want can arrive at your doorstep. I live in Dubai. You can order things and it's here in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right? And I just think this generation that's growing up in this environment, they have even less and less and less patience. And it's like, if you don't give them exactly what they want right when they want it, they're not going to sit around for an hour, let alone 5 minutes, right? So I just think, I think that if we don't find a way, right, if the community doesn't find a way to make WordPress simpler, easier, I do think there's going to be challenges, right? And I think that the Lovables and the Replits of the world, while they're struggling in some cases to enable like really production heavy sort of workloads, and then they're not necessarily at that level yet, some will probably figure it out, but I do think that there's going to be an experience gap, and it's only going to grow if we can't figure out how to make this thing simpler and easier to use.
Yeah, I have to agree. Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit off script there because my response is I think what you're suggesting is the utilizing AI is that providing a more customizable experience to specific niches at an affordable price to that niche because of a certain niche and a certain the amount of customization that could be offered just wasn't in business terms viable. By utilizing AI, it becomes more affordable to provide a more customizable experience to niche groups. I think that's what you were hinting. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, I absolutely think that AI will enable that in a way that just wasn't possible before.
Right. Now, what's your thoughts about e-commerce? Because I'm not in that space. I'm in learning management systems and memberships for individuals, for associations, non-profits, schools, right? E-learning. But the e-commerce, you know, yeah. Shopify, I know WooCommerce or Woo still is the biggest second player in it. But I just see enormous opportunity that hasn't materialized in the e-commerce space around Woo. What's your own thoughts about that? Because I would have thought that's a major part of Cloudways around e-commerce and around supporting Woo.
Yeah, I almost think some of the same stuff applies where, look, I talk to agencies all the time that are using our platform. And one of the things I've found is there is a deep appreciation for platforms like Shopify, where it's like anybody can use it and you can have a store spun up in minutes, truly minutes compared to Woo, which is like, okay, you need a handful of plugins before it'll do the base level functionality that you actually need to deliver a end-to-end experience for your end customer, right? So I think that complexity aspect of Woo is a very real problem. And I think that part of the reason Shopify had the kind of explosive growth it did is because it is, in my opinion, probably the best alternative if you don't want to monkey around with the WordPress ecosystem and learn plugins and all this stuff, right? And again, if you think about stitching together a user experience that potentially does some of that thinking for you, instead of you coming in and having to figure out, okay, which shipping plugin do I want to use out of the 10,000 that are available? Which plugin do I need for SEO optimization? I mean, there's so much, so many decisions that have to be made when you're building an e-commerce store in Woo. Why do people love it? Because of that flexibility, that choice, the fact that you can build anything that you want to, but it comes with that same huge sort of downside, if you want to call it that, which is that friction point of getting the store set up, optimized. You have, it's not just about building in Woo. You got to add in all of these other things in order for it to have the functionality, right? That comes almost out of the box with Shopify. So again, I think, we're also looking at, okay, what do our customers that are using WooCommerce, what are they really asking for? The developers, the agencies, they have a very real different ask than setting up the store. They're fine doing that. They're fine doing it on their own. What they're asking for is give us a different level of intelligence that will help us understand like where we should market products and where customers are getting lost in terms of the flow and the funnel, right? And so again, I just think that the way that we're going to embed AI into the platform, we'll be able to learn, we'll be able to sort of make recommendations, we'll be able to create a step change in user experience. There's going to be things that we do that I think will make WooCommerce much more appealing to the general base. But I do believe it has that same challenge, which is the complexity. It's just it's inherent.
Do you? Because obviously, Automattic, they got WordPress.com. It's their business.
Yeah,
they can go whatever direction they want to. But do you think that some of the leading cloud hosting providers, that's what they're looking at, is to provide a more onboarding, customized experience for WooCommerce? I would imagine all the leading hosting providers are looking at that because it is a natural, isn't it?
It is. I personally think for those folks that want to be around in the future, simplicity has to be, that simplicity and ease of use has to become a focal point for all of us, right? And to Kurt's point, I mean, when he's in that high school, there's a reason people aren't talking about WordPress, right? Look at these tools. I don't know if you've actually used Lovable or Replit or any of these tools, but the simplicity that it delivers and the fact that you can build a working prototype without writing a lick of code, right? Or without having really a strong technical aptitude. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what's happening in the industry. And I think for those of us that don't understand or see that as a massive threat to the status quo, it's going to be problematic. And these younger folks are not going to want to, they're going to be more and more impatient, and they're not going to sit around, you know, monkeying around with 40 different plugins to get a store working, right? They're just going to want it to go out of the box. And so I think we have to leverage AI to create those step changes in experiences.
Right. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think we've had a great conversation, but I fear we're to the time machine question. Are we, Jonathan?
Well, I think you've missed one question. What's your personal thoughts connected to AI?
Oh, I thought he loved it.
Oh, there's a darker side.
You've got a very balanced view to it, but also I'm extremely frustrated with the AI industry in some ways,
yeah,
because I'm not an expert, but I probably have spent too much time listening to podcasts and experts, heads of AI laboratories, you know, and I probably know a bit more than I should really know about it, because it's not gonna make me any richer in some ways, but it just seems to be an enormous amount of propaganda, and especially around general AI, general intelligence, or utilizing the word intelligence. I kind of push back after I found out how these large learning models actually work, utilizing intelligence with it is a stretch, is a bridge too far for me, really.
Yeah.
But a lot of people that I know, like my friend I was speaking to with yesterday, she's married to AI expert, so they're fully in, they're committed, both of them, but my cynicism doesn't mean that I can't see the benefits, because I use a lot of AI myself on a daily basis, but I just push back. What's your own feelings around this?
I actually tend to agree with you on a couple of things, and I would say, look, I'm an internal optimist, right? I'm wired that way. And I do see it as being probably one of the most transformative things that's happened in this generation. But I'm very cautious about it, right? And I do agree with you. I think there's a lot of companies who get out there. The buzzword is AI and everything you're doing, right? The reality is, if you look under the hood, it's really not that. It's not even happening at the way that folks are positioning or talking about it, including a lot of the companies who you hear, you know, I won't drop the names, but you hear all these companies who are like letting folks go because AI is doing all this remarkable stuff underneath the, it's really not true, right? It's like we overhired during COVID and now they're right-sizing businesses and they're trying to give all the credit to AI. People can see through that, right? I do think it's very transformational. I do think there's going to be amazing things that it can do. I also think that it carries a darker side, and it's one that nobody can afford to ignore, right? And AI can be misused in ways that can amplify bias, spread misinformation, erode privacy. I mean, if you want to know my biggest fear, like as it begins to control physical systems, which it will do at some state in the future, not tomorrow, but at some state in the future, where more vehicles and robots and autonomous drones are powered by this thing, right? We're talking about real world consequences. And one of the things that terrifies me the most is the human connection. We're already starting to see people forming relationships with chatbots, right?
Yeah.
And it's crazy, right? And think about this. Like, when's the last time you went out and sat at a restaurant, if you look around the room, like 80% of the people are on their smartphones, right? They're not even talking to each other. They're not looking at each other. And you walk around the world.
Oh, well, but is it, this is going to get me into, what is the excuse for that? They're married, aren't they? They're, long time ago, they stopped me talking to one another.
But you know where I'll go with this, right? It's like the technology, you know, while I think it's going to do amazing things for the human race, I think that there's some real potential downsides here. And it scares me, you know? And I think that we have to be careful and we have to make sure there's guardrails around things. And you know, as to your earlier point, once AI is smart enough to do actual reasoning, you know, it opens up a completely different world.
Yeah, but the problem with that is my understanding of large learning models and how they actually work. They can't reason. You can put elements where you can put memory or give the impression that it has memory. That to some degree is a trick as well. But to my understanding, they really don't. That's one of the reasons why, in my opinion, they wanted all this money to be invested, because they're taking a gamble that they can utilize that money to find our answer that can lead to general intelligence. But my understanding, large learning models cannot achieve that. But I'm probably totally wrong. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, with the AI thing, I am kind of curious to know how Suhab feels. If AI ingests pre-existing information and then starts to reformulate that pre-existing information on its own and then regurgitates that to itself, do you feel that the information over time will get better, or do you feel it get watered down and actually worse over time? Because my fear is that the information we get from AI is actually going to get worse over time instead of better.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could be right. I mean, the reality is that nobody knows, right? But one thing that I would say is the more and more folks are using these tools and less you're relying on human creativity, I do think that that's actually a very real risk, right? It's like, it's the same stuff being repeated in cycles and not, you know, that's the reason why the way I look at it is really the power of AI is a productivity multiplier when you combine it with that human innovation and human creativity. And I think the lack of that connectivity is going to do exactly what you said, which is, you know, that's a very real risk, a very real risk. And the reality is nobody knows.
Yeah. I'm such a huge fan of like organic things, like, you know, hunting, farming, working on your own car, things like that. Jonathan, I'm going to jump to six unless you got it. Something else.
Well, the only elephant, this go for six and then, go on.
So Ab, if you could go back in time, you know, if you had a time machine and you went back to when you were 20, what would be the key advice that you'd give yourself?
When I was 20, probably optimize for learning. I think staying curious, not worrying about what comes next, but just staying curious and trying to solve complex problems earlier in my career. I just think it opens up so many different windows and opportunities when you're constantly just trying to push yourself and learn. And maybe the other thing would be just learning how to communicate clearly and effectively. I've been running businesses for so long, and there's one thing that I realize is, you know, leading a team, inspiring folks and trying to sort of, you know, drive a mission or vision does really require clarity and strong communication skills. And that's something that I think oftentimes we overlook, and probably an art that I would have loved to master earlier in life and something I'm still working to improve every day.
I don't think that one ever gets mastered.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Nice. Jonathan?
And maybe a third thing. Yes. Surround yourself with people who will raise your standards and challenge you. You know, the early 20s, I can't always say I had the best group of friends, but, you know, you want to surround yourself with people who will challenge you and just tell you the truth, you know, and I think that's important in life.
Oh, well, but some leaders don't want the truth, do they?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Where would you know, we're coming to the end of 2025 rapidly. At the end of 2026, where would you like Cloudways to be? What would be a successful, obviously more customers, more revenue, but But are there any goalposts that you would like to share with us, or you feel that you can share, that at the end of 2026 that you felt in your heart that Cloudways had moved in the right direction?
I would have to say this concept of proactive versus reactive. Kurt, owning an agency, will tell you, I'm sure, you know, especially when you're managing hundreds of applications, what some of our agencies are doing, or thousands in some cases, you know, being purely reactive is very hurtful to that agency business, right? Ultimately, if we wait until things go down or performance is degraded, you're creating real harm to someone's business, right? And so I do think where AI is going to play a role, and it's already playing a role for us in some ways, is when you get really, really good telemetry and you get really good intelligence, if you want to call it that, right? Where you can start to pick up that, okay, something's going wrong. Somebody's CPU usage went from 25 to 75% in just a second. You know something's about to go wrong, right? So how do you proactively intervene and solve an issue, let the customer know you're solving an issue before they actually experience real harm to their business? And I think there's some pretty cool things that we're working on that will take us there. It's going to be a long journey. It won't happen overnight. But I do believe that AI will at least help us become far more proactive in nature. And that's something that every customer at the end of the day would appreciate, right? Waiting until you're down is never a fun experience for anybody.
Right. Thank you. So, Sinab, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your thoughts in general?
Find me on LinkedIn. My contact information is there. I'm always happy to connect with folks and always happy to, you know, learn and just network and meet new people and hear what other problems people are trying to solve and see how we can help each other.
Oh, you definitely have to come back, hopefully, sometime in the new year. I've really enjoyed the discussion. Kurt, what's the best way for people to find you, about you and your thoughts?
Like Suhab, I'm also on LinkedIn almost every day. That's a great place to make a connection. And if it's for business, I'm at Mañana No Más on all socials and mañananomás.com.
He certainly is. If you want to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. It's really easy if you're using your phone to listen to this podcast. Our numbers have been growing quite rapidly during the year. I even surprised Kurt by the amount of people that listen to this podcast. It's been growing. But if you could leave us a review, that really does promote us on those platforms to new listeners. And that really helps the show and really helps get some really fantastic sponsors that enable me to continue this podcast. So if you could do that, that would be really appreciated by me and Kurt. We will be back next week with another fabulous guest. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.